There has been a dramatic increase in felony cases over the past year in Marquette County, most noticeably in cases involving methamphetamine. Plus, the impact a new X-ray machine is making at the Marquette County Jail, and community policing, how the Michigan State Police is hoping to change the relationship between law enforcement and communities throughout the Upper Peninsula. We're covering these topics and more on WNMU's Media Meet next. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. The end of 2019 will mark one of the busiest years for the Marquette County Prosecutor's Office. A major contributor, the number of felony cases involving methamphetamine, as well as a spike in sexual abuse and domestic violence cases. The result of efforts involving law enforcement and officials of various departments across the Upper Peninsula. Joining me today, Marquette County Prosecutor Matt Wiese, Marquette County Sheriff Greg Zybert, and Michigan State Police Trooper Stacy Rassinen. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So let's start with these felony cases involving methamphetamine. The number of cases, Prosecutor Wiese, are up not just by a few or a dozen, but by the hundreds. So what does that mean for your office, and how are you handling that?
Right. So last year was a record number of methamphetamine felony cases, and those are all 10 and 20-year felonies. We had 156 in 2018, and prior to that, the most we'd ever had is like 78 or, you know, less than 75. And then this year, we're on pace to have over 200 by the end of the year based upon our numbers that are coming in. So the impact is pretty dramatic because those are very serious felonies, and it's a very bad problem in our community.
Sure. And do you have the staff levels to handle that? I mean, what are you looking at getting more, or what, where are you at there?
Well, we're gonna do the job regardless of the staffing levels. We have basically 5.5 full-time equivalent attorneys, counting myself, and we just share the load, and we get the cases done. We prioritize our cases. Methamphetamine is a priority, as well as sexual assault and domestic violence. So that's what we have to do. Locally, if the county board will see fit to increase my staffing, I certainly would welcome and appreciate that. And they're well aware of the problem. I've been keeping them informed.
Sure. And, you know, Sheriff Zybert, Trooper Rassinen, it seems like they're... Every day we hear on the news of a drug bust or some, you know, a case involving methamphetamine. It's been a problem in our community. Sure. It's not going away. What are you seeing out there?
Well, we're the reason why he's so busy.
Sure.
You know, it really is astronomical. Our jail is filled. Probably 50% of the people in jail are there either having meth or possessing or selling it, or indirectly where the... You know, they will do whatever necessary to get that next high, to get that next drug. So they'll break in, larceny and B&Es and all types of things. So we stay very, very busy because of it.
And that is something that you all look at, because you're spending a lot of time on dealing with the crimes that someone under the influence they're committing, rather than maybe being able to put your efforts toward a drug dealer or the people that are moving the drugs into our community. So I know one of the areas that you focus on is the Angel Program, and that is a way that you can help those addicted or struggling with an addiction to find that support, so then you can put your efforts toward that bigger picture. Can you talk about that?
Yes. You can come into any Michigan State Police post throughout the state of Michigan and ask for help, and that's what we want people to do. Also, too, in Marquette County, you can also go into the Sheriff's Department here and then the Negaunee post and ask for help. And what we do is we put you through just some questions, some basic questions, to make sure that you don't have any warrants out for your arrest. And again, even if you have warrants, we want to assist you to try to get those cleaned up so that you can come through our program, and we're going to try to find a treatment facility for that person. And we also have MSP Angels, is what we call them, that have experience and then also, too, can support these people so that they can get back on the right track and to a treatment facility. And they'll actually drive that person to a treatment facility here within the state of Michigan.
And those angels are volunteers, from what I understand, and I'm sure you're always looking for help in that program.
That's correct. As long as you're 21 years of age, you have a valid driver's license, and also, too, you've been in recovery for more than 2 years. And then if you're just a person that, you know, cares and wants to listen and wants to help with the problem, that would make an appropriate MSP angel. And we'd like you to, you know, volunteer for the program.
Sure. Are you finding this program to be successful in the Upper Peninsula and around the state?
Around the state, there's 211 people that have participated in the program, and we've had actually 11 people that have participated here. And, you know, as far as the doors are open Monday through Friday from 8 to 4.
Very good. And on the county level, Prosecutor Wiese, you also have a program aimed at finding support for those that are struggling, the felony drug court. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we have a felony drug court. So if people are, we pre-screen the cases, so if they have no violent history and they're addicted to drugs, we will approve them to go into the drug court if they wish to do so. And the huge advantage to the person doing that, other than obviously is getting clean and sober, but the other advantage is they can minimize or have no jail or possibly no criminal record if they're successful.
Do you find that this keeps, you know, a repeat offender from coming into the court system?
Not necessarily. Like all addictions, drug addictions, especially with methamphetamine, it's very rare for someone to get clean and sober the first time. It's usually the stats are something like the seventh or eighth or more. So the idea is that you don't give up on somebody, because we'd rather see them be clean, be sober, rather than end up being dead, because that's what ultimately happens.
Sure. And something we're hearing more about and is becoming an increasing issue, from what I understand, across the Upper Peninsula are drugs laced with fentanyl. And fentanyl is a narcotic similar to morphine, much stronger. But when you mix it with another drug, you can't see it with your eye. So talk about that. What kind of a problem or how are you seeing that in the Upper Peninsula?
Well, unfortunately, we've recently seen some cases where there was fentanyl involved in a death, and that's quite often what happens, is because the people that are making these drugs or lacing them with fentanyl, they're not using quality control standards. It's not in a laboratory. So, you know, very small amount of fentanyl can kill somebody. I think it's 3 nanograms. So it's super dangerous, and a lot of the deaths related to heroin and fentanyl or fentanyl pills even are coming in. So it's just so dangerous that I highly recommend people just not touch it.
Yeah. And so obviously you have programs in place. You're working to keep these drugs out of our communities. Is there anything more that you're doing or that we should be doing and focusing on it's been a problem for some time, and it seems to only be getting worse.
Well, and we're trying to treat instead mm-hmm. of just throw them in jail. And I think that is the trend. In the jails throughout Michigan and probably the United States, they're starting medically assisted treatment. And that's where they're getting the drugs to help them get off the drugs. And that soon will be coming probably to every area in Michigan.
Sure. We're also educating our students, you know, and giving them information about how harmful it is.
Yeah.
And that's very important, too, to start early so that they don't start the problem or even get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a year since the recreational marijuana law was passed in Michigan, almost a year. Basically, people can have recreational marijuana. They can have it in their possession. They can use it in a private space. Businesses are, as of Monday, also now permitted to sell recreational marijuana as long as they get the correct licenses. One here in the Upper Peninsula has that license. How has this law changed what you all do?
Well, I think one important thing that we had spoke about with the fentanyl, you know, under the new recreational marijuana, when you're buying from these dispensaries, you know what you're getting. And that's why the program here at Northern Michigan University, where the kids are learning to dissect the drug and how to grow it, and you know you're getting a known quality of a certain thing. On the street, they can put it fentanyl in. So if you're buying it from the illegal vendor, it's much more safer.
Sure.
So it's a very important, you know, a lot of people are dying just from this fentanyl drug.
Sure. So that's a positive of the regulation.
It is a positive, sure.
And then I'm sure there's a challenge there as far as testing for it. Obviously, it's illegal to drive under the influence. So what kind of testing do you all have in place? How does that work?
Well, in the state of Michigan, probably around 3 years ago, they started with drug recognition experts. And this is an 8-week course, very intensive course. Our department and here in Marquette County, we have two drug recognition experts, Michigan State Police and Negaunee Post. And I have a deputy, Aaron Griffin, who is a drug recognition expert. When an officer stops someone who is erratic driving, they don't smell alcohol on them, and there's something just isn't right. They will do the standard field sobriety test, the walk a straight line, the lift the leg. Everyone goes through that and does exactly the same thing. And if the officer thinks that it isn't alcohol, then he would call one of these drug recognition experts to come out to the scene, and he does his thing. So it helps, with the prosecution, their expert witnesses, and that's how we're going after the people who are driving.
Sure. And Trooper Aston, we were talking before the program that it's not always marijuana or methamphetamine, that sometimes it's prescription drugs. I mean, there's more to be aware of than just those illegal drugs. Yeah. And talk about what you're seeing.
From when I first started till now, which has been 25 years, it used to be, the person that was under the influence of alcohol, and now we're seeing that it's a variety of different, whether it's alcohol, drugs, prescribed drugs, and we just want to remind people, the prescription drugs, too, people forget that they have warning labels, and you need to take the time to read the warning labels and not get behind the wheel if it says you shouldn't do that.
Sure. And I know, with the recreational law, there is this kind of a gray area of public versus private. You're allowed to have it privately. And some people say, well, what does that mean? Is there confusion there still? Is that law need to be cleaned up a little bit? Or?
Well, the law was passed by a public vote on a referendum. So
sure.
When you pass laws that way, you sometimes get laws that are somewhat flawed. Basically, if you're going to use recreational marijuana, I recommend you use it on private property and not in public, not in a car. And those are pretty clear that you can't be on the beach smoking marijuana. Even in your car, it's considered public.
What about on a porch? I've heard people say, can I be on my porch or in my backyard? Or
I personally don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But you be respectful of your neighbors. If you're smoking marijuana and your neighbor finds it offensive, they might complain. So just be respectful of other people. And most importantly, if you're going to use marijuana like any other substance, be responsible in your use.
Absolutely. And Sheriff Zeibert, this spring you implemented a new machine at the county jail, a body scanner that detects drugs and weapons, takes just a couple minutes for someone to go through. So first talk about what brought you to that place where you felt like this was something that you wanted to bring in.
Well, in the Marquette County Jail, we were specifically having a problem with drugs being brought into the jail, mostly a person in a body cavity or would bring it in and then share it with other prisoners. At one point, we had all the female prisoners that were high on meth. At one point, we had one that overdosed, and we were able to get her to the hospital before she passed. So it's very, liability is really, really high. So I was invited to and attended the National Sheriff's Academy in Colorado. I was able to network and speak with other sheriffs, and I asked them, what are they doing? And a few of them, the larger jurisdictions, they said, we have this, it's state of the art, it's within the last 2 or 3 years, and it's a body x-ray machine. And basically anyone who comes through into our jail is scanned for something, be it weapons or cell phones or drugs. And it's been eight months now, and since we've implemented that, we haven't found any drugs in the jail or found anyone high. I think we had about 40 cases that we have taken to the prosecutor prior to that. So, knock on wood, it's been a good thing to have.
Sure. Somebody has something on their body, then they're facing additional charges, I would guess.
Well, that's one thing we try to emphasize with every officer who arrests someone and tell that person, If you have it, give it to us now, it's a misdemeanor. If you go through the scanner and we find it, it's a 5-year felony. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot, most of the cases that we've had, the people have given up before they even go through the scanner.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's win-win.
Yeah. And a quick reminder for those who may have just joined us or for those listening on Public Radio 90, we are talking today about all of the crime and law updates happening around the Upper Peninsula. We have Marquette County Prosecutor Matt Wiese, Marquette County Sheriff Greg Zybert, and Michigan State Police Trooper Stacy Rassanen. Thank you all again for joining me. Circling back to the increase in felony cases, we spoke about the methamphetamine and the increase in the number of cases there, but also there's an increase in felony cases due to the number of domestic violence and sexual abuse charges. These are not always, it's not always easy to come forward in these types of situations, but the number of reported incidents is on the rise. I know this is something that you've been very passionate about. Certainly, we're in a culture now that is more open for people to come forward and more supportive. So talk about that, what you're seeing and where those numbers are coming from, what you relate that to.
Well, I don't think we're seeing an increase in domestic violence and serious domestic violence cases or an increase in the acts of sexual assaults. I think we're seeing an increase in awareness and reporting. I'll give you an example. We trained law enforcement about 5 years ago on how to look for strangulation. Strangulation is almost always in a domestic violence setting, and it's a 10-year felony, and it can be lethal. And once we trained law enforcement on what to look for, the awareness went up and the cases went up because they were identifying those cases. And when it comes to sexual assault, it's almost always not a stranger assault. It's a known person, an acquaintance, a family member. And I think the more that we've raised awareness that those cases will be treated seriously and train law enforcement on how to properly do an interview, especially of a child, we've gotten better cases, we've had more cases brought to us, and we've charged more. So I don't think there's an increase in that crime, I just think sure. There's an increase in awareness and reporting.
And there's certainly a system of trust and support where a victim feels they're comfortable moving forward or speaking up, coming forward. K.I. Sawyer, you opened the blueprint for safety offices. Can you talk about that?
Right. Marquette County is a blueprint for safety domestic violence county. It's started with a federal grant that was funded through the Department of Justice. And what we've done is we tried to change the culture of our coordinated community response to that crime and increase some of the tools that law enforcement has for investigating those cases. And when we were looking at our data from 2 years ago, we noticed that Forsyth Township, although it has about 8% of the population of the county, it was carrying about 24% of the domestic violence cases. And so we wanted to have a presence in that community, and we created this office there and also staff it with an advocate from the Women's Center that's partially funded through the grant so that people have a place to go, so that law enforcement can go there and do an interview if they need to. And I think it's a good message to send to the community that, you know, if you need help, we're here.
Sure. And I know this is one of a number of initiatives and programs that you're working on around the county. Anything else that you want to talk about?
My office has been really involved with getting a child advocacy center set up here. And what a child advocacy center is, it's a one-stop center where a child who is a victim of either sexual or physical abuse goes to when that crime is reported. So rather than tell an officer, then go talk to a detective, then get hauled to the hospital, then talk to a nurse, then talk, it's one time they have to tell their story. And we have a center that's about to open here in the city of Marquette. And we've been actively raising money for doing that. We have trained forensic interviewers. That means they're law enforcement that know how to properly interview a child. The interviews will be recorded so that if there's any challenges as to how the interview was done, that can be evaluated. There will be a medical facility there in case there needs to be any type of examination for injuries or sexual assault examination. So we're pretty excited about this model. It's worked well in other communities, and we're happy to see ours getting started.
Yeah. Not a new concept, but perhaps one that is has some new life being breathed into it in Marquette County and across the UP is community policing. Talk to us about this, Trooper Rassanen, how, just first about the idea, just about strengthening those relationships.
Yeah, again, we want people in our community to come to us and know that they can trust us and that something's going to get done with what they report. And I think that's what this whole program is all about, is that we need more information so that we can do our jobs better.
Sure. And I know you go into area schools a lot, and you talk with students, and you talk with classes. Talk about that work in developing those relationships and what that's like.
Again, the state police has a program, and we can go in from Head Start all the way to high school, and it's called the TEAM program, which is teaching, education, and mentoring. And it's different than DARE, because you can pick one program that, you know, fits your school. So you go in and do the one program, and it's between 30 to 40 minutes. You give the students the information on whatever topic the teacher decides or chooses. And it's just a safety awareness program, so that hopefully that student can go and have the correct information and live a healthier life and not become a crime victim. Or if they do become a crime victim, they know how to report it.
What topics are you most asked to talk about?
It can be, you know, as basic as learning 911. Mm-hmm. You know, we have young children that are in home sometimes, and they need to get a hold of help. So I've gone into schools, I've gone into daycare centers, and we just talk about the importance of knowing how to dial the 911, and that they can talk to an operator, and that law enforcement, the police or fire, will come to their house.
Sure.
And to open up the door to us, that we're friendly and we're approachable and we want to help them with their situation. It can also, too, just be on rules and laws, so that they know how to make good choices and what the differences are, and that whether a police officer or a teacher or a parent are over their shoulder, that they may suffer consequences if they choose to do the wrong thing.
Sure. And I know this isn't just within schools. You'll go to businesses and talk with businesses. I recently heard of a business in Marquette that I think you went in and you spoke about human trafficking to the parents of dance students. And I thought that was fascinating. They initiated that. How often are you being asked to come to businesses and groups settings like that?
As far as I'm asked, you know, as far as the community, as far as the colleges, the businesses, to talk about human trafficking. And, you know, it might not raise to that level yet here. We've only had a handful of cases, but again, we have the use the children do to the internet, along with people that are disabled, and we need to look out for these individuals, because we have had cases, and as far as sexual assaults, domestic violence, and we need to make sure that these people know that they can come to us and report it.
Sure.
So that's why we have programs like this out there, to make sure that people are safe. And the internet, it's exposing our children mm-hmm. to all different things, and it can be good and it can be bad. And as parents, we need to watch over our children and make sure that they're doing the correct things on the internet.
Definitely. And Sheriff Zibert, you spend a lot of time in the schools and out in the community. What topics are you talking about, and talk about your interaction at the schools?
Well, not only schools, but businesses. We're having programs for active shooter, what people should do in that case scenario, and actually training the businesses, you know, how to prepare for that. Not only, the sheriffs, the municipal, the local PDs, you know, I was with Chalk Lake Township for 31 years. I was a known, and the people know me. And that's with your locals, that person is there for usually for a career. And it's getting to know your officer, and so you trust him and you can call him, be it at home or, you know. And that's so important, is to get that one-on-one connection with people where they feel safe and secure, where someone is going to come after them if they report a crime.
Sure. And Trooper Astin, you have a program, the Cadet Academy, all part of the community policing initiative. Talk a little bit about that.
Again, it's for students that are in grades 10 through 12th grade, and then you can apply online through the American Legion. It's offered, it's 1 week in the summertime, it's in July, and we encourage students that are thinking about actually becoming police officers to try to go and sign up for the program. You can do it online, and again, it gives them a perspective of what law enforcement is. We're always looking for people to do our job. You know, we need replacements, so we're recruiting, we're hiring, and we want people to go out and try out our academy. Like I said, I think people would be surprised if they go and try it, that they would find that it's probably something that can fit them, because it's not just arresting people and writing people tickets. We have other jobs, you know, the SWAT team or the ES team, K-9. Also, too, if you like to fly or use motorcycles. So just think about it. It's a really good job, and you can reach out to people, and you can help a lot of people in your community.
Definitely. We recently had our first two major snowstorms. Huge impact in the Upper Peninsula, Marquette County. And I think in both, drivers were asked to stay off the roads. So talk a little bit about that. Under what conditions are you asking people to stay home, stay off the roads? What goes into that decision?
Well, you know, since I've become sheriff, there's been two times, and I don't take this lightly, where I've actually got on all the different stations and asked people to stay off the roads, because it does affect many businesses and restaurants, and you know they depend on people coming in. But when the roads get so slick and dangerous, I feel it's all our responsibility to get the message out and tell the people, you know, do not be out there. Most of the things are closed. There's no reason for you to be out there. If there is, just, you know, how to drive safe and, you know, slow, and have your equipment, your car in shape for driving in these particular incidents. Not to mention, have your car ready if you're driving downstate. Have a kit, you know, if you get stranded, which it can happen in the Upper Peninsula. We have no cell tower coverage throughout the whole UP. So if you go off in a ditch, it could be hours before someone happens upon you. So it's important to have this safety kit with you, you know, be it a candle or with extra clothes and that type of thing. So
how many people do you think actually do have a kit in their car?
Well,
I
knew before cell phones, and I'm from Detroit, so I drove up hundreds of times over the years, and my father insisted, and sure. I used it quite a few times.
You'd probably be surprised at how often you do grab for something that you might not otherwise
just
have.
Just a full tank of gas is a good thing to have, too, and we don't, you know, sometimes people forget about that. So before a snowstorm, fill up, because there's sometimes, you know, businesses lose power, and then they're unable to get the gas that people need. So.
Sure.
And just a reminder, make sure your gas is full.
And I saw with this last storm, I believe you actually went out and did a well check on an employee that didn't show up for work. They weren't able to get a hold of them because of the power outage. How often are you doing that and getting those kinds of calls? And I thought that was really great that you went out there and took, you know, actually did do the check. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And that's something that we do often, you know. And if you believe that someone might be stuck or you can't find them, we had one the other night where people were stuck in their camp and the wife tried to drive there. She got stuck, and then we had search and rescue out looking. So, but it is very important.
Yeah. Prosecutor, we just have just a couple of more minutes. Moving ahead into the next year, what is your focus? What are you going to be working toward?
Well, like I mentioned before, the Child Advocacy Center, we want to make sure that's up and running. We want to get more law enforcement trained on the protocol that we're putting in place for when we have a child victim of either sexual abuse or physical abuse. So that's going to be one of our big initiatives coming forward in the next year. Additionally, continuing with our Blueprint for Safety Domestic Violence Project, and probably do some more law enforcement training. And like every winter, I do legal updates for law enforcement around the Upper Peninsula, and I plan to do that again this year.
And you all do work together a lot. There are a lot of trainings that you do together, the ANGEL program you work on together. If you need someone to come and help with the drug testing on the side, you know, on a traffic stop, talk about that collaboration and just the relationship you have with one another.
Well, the amount of police officers in the state of Michigan have gone down over the years, and in the Upper Peninsula especially, I think more so than anywhere in the state, we have to depend on each other because there's not a lot of us. So we do train together, as I mentioned before, the school shooting. We have different agencies, so if and when, knock on wood, we never have that. But if, for instance, in Republic, or there's the sheriff, the state police, and maybe a municipal city police officer is driving by and gets this on their cell phone, we all train with other. We all go in. We know exactly what we're going to do, and we do it. So we really depend on each other a lot in the Upper Peninsula, especially Marquette County. We all get along, and you have to do it.
Lucky to have each other.
Very
well,
much.
Thank you all for joining me today. Marquette County Prosecutor Matt Wiese, Marquette County Sheriff Greg Zybert, and Michigan State Police Trooper Stacy Rassinen. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. And for those of you watching, thank you for watching. For now, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.